It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news for you 7 days a week. Yeah, it does get pretty busy at times. And you'll hear us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And the weekend, boy, didn't take long for that week to just rocket by. March the 2nd today. And I hope you got a great weekend planned, whatever that might look like. Got a question for you on our Saturday morning as you dive into your breakfast. When was the last time that you used a check to pay for something? Well, interestingly, Australia aims to phase out checks by 2030, but banks are moving much faster than that. With less than 1% of payments made by checks, who is affected the most with the phase out? Well, I can tell you it's the poor old pensioners who rely on checks to pay for their rents. Now, you might be a landlord and you've got some pensioners that are renting from you, and you'll have direct experience of this, of being paid by checks. The problem is, of course, the pensioners, they're not online, so they can't pay digitally. And let's go to Anthony Landau, the Managing Director of Equilibria Finance this morning, who is back once again. Good morning, Anthony. When was the last time that you paid by check?
Good morning, Craig. Great to be here. You're certainly going back in my memory bank, and I can't actually really remember. I was given a check recently to be banked, and I'll be honest with you, it's still sitting on my desk. So I actually haven't got into a branch to bank that check yet. It's been there for a couple of months. So I think with the closure of branches, with changes in the way we do things, there are some people, unfortunately, that get left behind. And it tends to be with this digital age, some of those older people who might be used to checks, face-to-face interaction in banks, which is a real shame.
Yeah, there are some countries. You take a look at Dubai. It's a fascinating situation in Dubai because the whole rental market there is paid for by checks, but you only pay either to the landlord one check for the entire year, or it might be a two-check payment, one for the first 6 months and the second. But if you are the landlord, you get those two checks. So pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting. It might create some cash flow challenges too, I reckon, around people's pay cycle, especially at the moment with, in Australia, cost of living pressures. But yeah, that is a totally different way of paying for your rent once or twice a year. But I guess they're used to that, and some interesting observations you make there about different ways countries do those sort of things.
Now, you mentioned you've got the check sitting on your desk. Of course, we should point out that you've got bank checks, which are different. That's kind of as good as cash. I remember I used a bank check probably a couple of years ago to pay for something, but that wasn't a check per se. I think the last time I used a check, it would have been back in 1993.
Yeah, I think I've used one more recently than that, but to be honest, I can't actually remember last time I wrote a check. When I started my business, I was given a checkbook, and I have not used one check from it either. So we certainly have changed how we do things, haven't we?
Yeah, and certainly hope that those pensioners are going to have a different option when it comes to paying for the rent. Right, well, let's get on to some real estate this morning, Anthony. As indications have suggested, Australia may have passed the peak of interest rate hikes, and it's a timely reminder that approximately 450,000 Australians are still scheduled to transition from fixed rates in this year of 2024. So, Anthony, let me ask you this. What kind of an impact can we anticipate for individuals who have yet to transition from fixed mortgage rates in 2024?
Yeah, look, it's something we don't want to lose sight of. There's obviously been a lot of talk about rates starting to plateau, potentially come down later in the year. recent inflation numbers are remaining fairly steady. But we can't lose sight of the fact, as you said, 450,000 Australians are coming off those low fixed rates of still below 2%, and they're going to be looking at rates above 6%. So in simple terms, that 4% increase on a $500,000 loan is an additional $1,666 in interest per month. If it's a $750,000 loan, it's $2,500 a month. Or if it's a $1 million loan, it's $3,333 a month in interest. So we've got cost of living pressures. There's 450,000 Australians who are going to run into those cash flow issues around their mortgage over the next 12 months. Important not to lose sight of the bare bones of that and the impact of them month on month on their mortgage repayments.
Yeah. And what about some options? Let's look at those. What sort of options do people have?
Yeah, that's important because it's not always just about set and forget. There's a number of options. The first little bit of advice I'd give is make sure you look at this 4 to 6 weeks before your fixed rate comes out. Your bank will generally contact you or your mortgage broker will be in touch, but you could potentially refix the loan. But I note at the moment, fixed rates tend to be a little bit higher than variable, but they are starting to come down a little bit. You can just let your loan go to the current provider's variable rate. But once that happens, make sure you or your mortgage broker call the bank and renegotiate a better rate, because often the bank will just put you on what they call their revert rate, and there's often room to move. You could switch to a different structure of a loan with the same lender. For example, you might want an offset account to maximise the benefit of your savings, whereas with the fixed loan, you may not have had that benefit. Or you can look at refinancing your loan to another lender. If your current provider doesn't come to the party, go to your mortgage broker and get some comparatives of what's out there on the market, because every 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 basis points you save is money in your pocket.
All right, so we are talking about refinancing this morning. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that in just a moment with Anthony Landau.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling, and investing across Australia.
Well, you cannot escape the buyer optimism that is out there in the marketplace at the moment. Have you noticed it? Driven potentially by rate cuts and positive inflation news, and also what is very clear to me is the optimism by real estate agents, especially the ones that we talk to here on the podcast. You've heard them tell me that there is this increased market activity where properties are selling above market prices. In fact, some property professionals going as far to say that FOMO is back in some of the markets. And is there a little bit of good news here for first home buyers? I think so, who just might find a little bit of relief if rate cuts materialise this year, which of course in turn is going to ease up that access to finance, which they have taken a bit of a hit in the last 12 months on. And as I said last week, 2022, 23 and 2024 years are all very different, but we are traversing the best way forward that we know how, which I guess at the end of the day makes us pretty resilient.
Listen to in-depth discussions with industry leaders on investing options, understanding different suburbs with insider perspectives and exclusive tips.
And it is a Real Estate Saturday. Yes, the weekend is here, and we have mentioned 450,000 Australians are still scheduled to transition from fixed rates in 2024. Anthony Landau, the Managing Director of Equilibria Finance, is back with me. And Anthony, for a better interest rate, plenty of people over the last 2 years especially have been very active in refinancing their mortgage. Now, what are some of the considerations for people this morning to think about when refinancing?
Yeah, look, that refinancing over the last couple of years has been on the back of rising rates. It's been on the back of rising home values. And there was also a lot of cashback incentives from providers, which thankfully have drifted back out of the market because they do distort the market. But for someone who's coming off their fixed rate or who might be looking at refinancing, there's a few considerations. Firstly, the value of the property is really, really important. If you originated a loan and your loan to value ratio was above 80%, you might have growth now where you can look at getting a new product, getting a better rate with a loan to value ratio under 80%. So the valuation of your property is critical to firstly make sure you can refinance, and secondly, who you can refinance to. Now, when you refinance, it's similar to a new application. They look at income, expenses, assets, and liabilities. So have a think about, has your income changed? Are you still in stable employment? Are there credit card or other personal loan limits that you may not be using at the moment that might impact your serviceability? Because interest rates have gone up, serviceability will be impacted. So when you're refinancing, treat it like a new application around how they're going to assess it. Your employment, your living expenses, your credit history, have you been making repayments, and other liability limits as well. There's also the costs involved in refinancing versus the interest savings. You might have a discharge fee. There might be a new mortgage registration fee. So generally, the friction costs of moving might be $500 to $1,000 depending on the provider. Get your broker or do an analysis around what are the costs to move and what are the interest savings. So valuations are a key, assessment around income, expenses, assets, liabilities, credit history, and what are the costs versus the savings.
And what do you say to people who fix their mortgage rate as long as they possibly can? And I'm probably talking pre what's happened over the last couple of years. And their thinking is, well, if it goes down, I can always break it, but it's good to have cover over the fixed term rate. What do you say to people in that situation?
Generally, at the moment, even longer-term fixed rates are below where the variable rates are sitting. There are some 4-5 year fixed rates still in and around even 3%, between 3-4%. So there's some really good longer-term fixed rates that people secured a couple of years ago. They're not available now. But if someone is looking at breaking their fixed rate for whatever reason, to move to a variable rate, to change provider, to pay out a loan, they want to understand the break costs for a fixed rate. Often there's a break cost involved depending on what they're doing. At the moment, because fixed rates tend to be lower than variable, then break costs might be minimal or may not even exist. But essentially understand what's the cost, if any, to break a fixed rate, and what's the benefit? Are you going to a lower rate? What's the reason you're doing it? Have you now got savings that will fully offset your interest, for example, so that even though the rate's higher, you're getting a net overall benefit? So understand the costs potentially of breaking it, and then what are the benefits? Why are you doing it?
And what's the current landscape like for refinancing in terms of volume and credits at the moment?
Yeah, so refinancing volumes have slowed. There was obviously those rate rises, and there was values of property going up, and there was a lot of cashbacks from providers. So probably the last 12 or 18 months, we saw almost a frenzy of refinancing in the housing market. That's slowed down a lot. It's come back to more normal sort of levels, and credit flows are now focusing back on owner-occupiers and investor purchasing. But we still do have refinance activity, but it's a lot more methodical around, hey, the value of my house has gone up. When I first bought it, my loan-to-value ratio was over 80%. I want to refinance to a mainstream provider, or I've just come off my fixed. My provider's not coming to the party. What are my options out there? What are the comparatives in the market? And then we move. So it's a much more, that feeding frenzy has come out of the refinance market. It's a much more methodical and much more aligned to sort of longer term trends in terms of credit flows. Again, I think that activity is going to stay solid this year with those 450,000 coming off fixed rates. A lot of people will be looking at, what are my options?
Yeah, and that's really what the real estate game is all about at the end of the day. Options, options, options. If you've got plenty of them, even better. All right, we'll wrap it up there on our Saturday morning. Make sure that you go and bank that check.
I'll do it the Savo, and I'll keep you posted next time we meet. I'll reassure you that that has been done.
Good on you. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Craig. You too, mate.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
All right. So we've got the first home buyers listening to you this morning, Gemma. Why don't you throw up a couple of great suburbs that are good buying right at the moment for 2024 in your area?
Yeah, look, a couple of suburbs that come to mind is is Selix Beach. We'll start off there. That suburb offers really great value for money if you're looking for a full-size block, so 600 square metres or larger. You'll have slightly older homes if you're wanting to keep the price point a bit more affordable, but you're right on the beach and you've got beautiful big block sizes. As you come a little bit down the coast, Aldinga Beach is a suburb of almost 4,000 homes, so you'll have a lot of variety and a lot of options from the big blocks and the older homes right through to brand new homes on smaller allotments.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.